That makes sense. Melissa also would like to know your thoughts on if the NASA Challenger astronauts are truly still alive. If yes, why is nobody calling this out more?
That's a good question. I've seen some of the pictures and stuff that are out there that line up the alleged NASA Challenger, the people who allegedly died in that explosion, and then the modern sort of pictures of them, and it looks pretty convincing. I just think it's difficult to vet. This is one of those things that, yes, it's very interesting, and the one, it's more than a meme, but it was like a one page kind of either a website or an image that shows all the individuals then and now kind of thing. Unless somebody, until somebody does like a real hard, investigation on this topic, literally looking for the people that, are allegedly alive and sitting them down or whatnot, it's hard to vet. And I think that's why it's difficult to call it out, other than some of the, images and some of the things I've seen on YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Rob sent in a ton of questions, and I know you're limited on time right now, so I'll just read through them, and they're all based around, it's basically aliens and the strong delusion. I'll just read the thing and feel free to take,
Sure.
but he asked, who are reptilians? Are they in the Bible? Are they currently mixing with us? Who are the 200 Watchers? Are they in the Bible? What are the small grays versus the tall grays? How does Gans see the strong delusion playing out in the end? What main points are woven intricately, deceptively incorporated into the delusion, including the elect? There you go.
Describe God and give three examples in 5 minutes. Okay, so the okay, so reptilians, who are they? Allegedly, they are these reptile race of reptiles that are, David Icke suggests are out there. I think that they are synonymous with the Nakash, the shining ones, that is described in Genesis. And if you look at the word study there, you'll understand what I mean by that. Are they in the Bible? If you want to say the Hanakosh re represents the reptilian or reptiles in that sense, then yes, in terms of the serpent being the dragon, which is Satan, in that sense, yes, reptilians, not reptilians proper, but just in that sort of broad definition of it, yes, reptilians, again, quote unquote, is in the Bible, if you want to say that. Are they currently mixing with us? Again, hard to say. Secular doctors, researchers, Dr. David Jacob, who we spoke to, suggests that yes, they are mixing with us, but he says they're extraterrestrial. Who are the 200 Watchers? Same deal. I think it's probably, if you look at the sons of God phrasing in Genesis 6, and then you tie it into 2 Peter 2 4, Jude 1 6, the angels that sinned, the angels that left their own habitation, this seems to be what's going on here. And I think they did physically manifest. There's angels in the Old Testament that are physical, clearly. And so they took that, whatever technology, whatever method was used for that to occur. I think that was what happened. And tying this, touching this real briefly to the black goo thing, this is where it's interesting, this programmable matter thing, right? Because if we're talking about matter at any level that can be programmed, sperm, eggs, physical body, biology, all that stuff is at a larger scale than little pieces of atom, molecules, stuff like that. So then you start thinking about, oh, they physically, oh, they don't have bodies, they can't. Well, if they have the technology or this sacred knowledge, whatever you want to call it, to manifest in that way, then perhaps, they're able to do that. So 200 Watchers, are they in the Bible? Not specifically 200. The number 200 isn't mentioned, obviously, but Genesis 6 does mention the sons of God in the same account there. You also have the word watchers, I believe, in Daniel 4, described as, the sort of angelic or divine being that interacts with Daniel. What are the small grays versus the tall grays? One small, one's tall. How does Gon see? seemed, I don't know how to answer that question other than, you know, I don't know. How does Gon see the strong delusion playing out in the end? Man, you know, all I know is that it's going to be intricately incorporated into the delusion, including the elect. The passage, you know, that he's referring to in Matthew 24, you know, it says it's going to deceive the world, even the elect, if possible, right? So there's that caveat there where if possible, meaning that, you know, some have taken it, it's not possible for the elect to be deceived. I think some, but, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, there seems to be, and this is kind of where, and I have to do more work in articulating these thoughts here, and I've tried to do it in some videos, but the whole concept of Arminism and Calvinism and sort of predestination and all this stuff, I think it solves itself quite nicely in an eschatological paradigm. So when you look at the end times and you look at those who take the mark and all this stuff, they're unredeemable, and there's a clear separation of the wheat and the tares, so to speak, right? And so in that paradigm, the elect become extremely clear who the elect are, who aren't the elect. And in that sense, you know, the great deception will be sort of the culprit to separate, you know, the wheat and the tares, so to speak. And I'm not articulating everything, and I can't get into it too much here in the limited time here, but that's kind of how I see things.
There. All right, if people want to find out more about you, check out your show, all your videos, donate to your ministry, all that stuff, where can they go online to find out more about you and what you have available?
Easiest place to go is facelikethesun.com, which I believe is back up now, finally, thanks to a couple people that helped out. You can find the YouTube channel there. You can find the podcast there as well, canarycryradio.com. You can always go to YouTube, type in Face Like the Sun, and you'll see all the videos and everything I've done. You'll even see some Face Like the Sun debunked videos or, you know, exposed videos or whatever. Those are always fun.
All right. Good deal. Now, I know we talked about a lot of different things. If you had to wrap up all of what we talked about into one final thought, what would you want the audience most to take away from this interview?
I think the biggest thing is probably to not be afraid. And I say that in a very broad sense, but I do sense, you know, a little bit of fear coming from certain people that are new to the stuff. And then I see people accusing us of fear mongering on the other side. And I do think that there's a reason why we're doing this, and it's not to spread fear. And I think all of us agree in this community agree about that. But it is important to expose some of the dark things that are happening. I go back to Ezekiel 8, you know, when the leaders of Israel, Ezekiel is shown that these leaders of Israel are worshiping other gods, pagan gods, and they're doing it at night, and they're doing it deep underground, you know. But God shows them this stuff. And, you know, not that we are prophets per se, but I think we're in sort of I guess if you want to call it a business, or we're kind of in the group of people that I think we were called out to do some of these things for a time, maybe not for our whole lives, but for a time. And at least right now, for me, it's that time. I think for you, Josh, it's that time. And I think that whatever you look at, don't let the fear, whatever fear you might feel with your family, with, you know, because we talked about that a little earlier. How do we balance family life, all this stuff? Don't let that dictate kind of the joy you have in Christ, because that's really what's most important. There's a passage, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it talks about, you know, you can prophesy, you can speak in tongues, you can heal, you can do all these things, but if you're not doing it in love, it's worthless, right? That's what Paul tells us. So I think keeping that in perspective, that yes, we are exposing dark things. Yes, we talk about some crazy stuff that, you know, cause people to make videos that call us shills or whatever. But ultimately, what we're doing is for the Lord. And ultimately, we're doing it, and I think a lot of us do a good job of it, doing it in love, in Christ's love, and that word love, the agape, because we care. You know, we care about humanity. We care about the church. We care about where things are headed. And again, we may not have all the answers, and we don't, for sure, we don't have all the answers, but we do have one that is the answer, one that is the solution. And that's what we always constantly point to. And there's joy in that. And really, you know, I think the good news, the gospel, is really good news when you start looking at all these things, because, man, the world is interesting and it's dark and it's growing darker. And the darker the world gets, the brighter that the light of Christ shines. So that's about it.
It's a fantastic thought to end on, and I completely agree. This has been such a good conversation, Gons. It always is with you, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We're going to have to do this again.